EJ, I want to go back to you now. Let's go down a different direction here. I set it up that we perhaps could learn some things from Israel relative to the terrorist attack. Probably no one is more used to terrorist attacks than Israel from the very beginning, and not even just one at a time, but entire nations, as you said, 1968, rose up against this nation. And somehow they've survived. Now, you used the word miracle. I've used it because I think it is. But also, they have some practical things that they have done and have observed, and how to deal with particularly Islamic terrorists, because that's where most of them come from out of that ideology. Well, New York City had a terrorist attack, we know. If you could look at New York, what happened there, or Las Vegas, wherever, and look at those things based on what Israel has learned. Are there some applicable lessons that we could learn that would help us here in this nation to better prepare for terrorist attacks?
Certainly. And I had mentioned to you prior to this interview, I've recently just returned from Israel. I was there a couple weeks ago with a group called the Advanced Security Training Institute, which brings U.S. first responders over to Israel for a week-long training program to learn from the Israelis on how they respond. Now, clearly, in how they prepare and respond. And of course, it's a different situation. Israel is a significantly smaller country than the United States, but there are lessons that can be learned from the Israeli side that can be applied here. And you know, there's two specific that come to mind from that trip. The first one is when an attack happens in Israel, if a shooting happens at a cafe, if a bus is blown up, within hours, that scene is cleared and open for business. People
Interesting.
continue living, they're right back in that spot. They're not lingering on it. Of course, there's the mourning period, and there's a lot that society does to deal with the pain from the attacks, but they don't let it cripple their daily lives. And it's a very important point because what are these terrorist attacks trying to do? They're trying to get into your psyche. They're trying to change your way of life, to change how you act. So that's one very important lesson that I learned. The other really important lesson is that historically, these terrorist groups, these jihadi groups, when they carry out an attack, they want to get maximum media attention. But once you do an attack once, if you do it the second time, it doesn't have that same impact. It doesn't have that same wow factor. So, you know, on 9/11, they flew planes, you know, into buildings and, you know, unprecedented, unexpected. We haven't had an attack like that again, and a lot of that has been because of work that our government has taken to stop it. But there's also been a few types of attacks on planes that we've been fortunate have not worked. Specifically, the one some years ago, about 10 years ago or so, over Detroit on Christmas Day, when a plane was about to be blown up, but the person did not have the right materials. That was the underwear bomber. That was a failure of the intelligence community, but that was a different type of attack. And in Israel, what they explained was you can keep trying to go back and figure out how to stop a previous attack from happening again, which is necessary, and we need to do it. But you're not going to be able to stop everything, and we need to be anticipating where they're going to go next. And one thing that I've seen over the years in my work is that they tend to use Europe and Asia as testing grounds for tactics.
That,
And, yeah.
EJ, that's an incredible comment that you're making right there. And I'm just going to step in here. Those two things that you mentioned, I think, are pretty brilliant. After an attack in Israel, they get things back to normal as quickly as possible. That's something I would say doesn't happen here too as much. That's a great one. And then the other one you said is that the terrorists, because they are seeking media attention and the wow factor, as you put it, are not as inclined to repeat the same thing exactly the same. Now, in this country, we tend to be so reactionary that we build monumental changes in people's lives to prevent the same thing from happening again. But that kind of goes counter to what you're saying that Israel has done all along. Why is that? Are we still, in your opinion, not understanding who the enemy is properly? Perhaps it's why we've been responding generally the way we are. Talk about that.
Well, to take your second question first, the answer is yes, we haven't quite still 16 years after 9/11, and of course this didn't start on 9/11, but we still have not accurately identified the threat that we're facing. We have not accurately identified the enemy that we're fighting against, which is why, if you see on the battlefield, we've won every battle. If you look at Afghanistan, if you look at when we were in Iraq before we withdrew, we won every battle. Yet I don't think you could point to Afghanistan or Iraq and say that we've won the war. And we haven't won the war because we don't understand the ideological nature of the enemy that we're fighting. And on the Israeli side, you know, they're in a different situation. They don't have the choice of withdrawing. If they withdraw, that's the end of Israel. So they're engaged in this 24/7. They don't have the option of withdrawing. And they need to be proactive. I mean, you know, going back to this victory concept, can you imagine if in 1947 with the partition plan that the Arab representatives said, okay, we're okay with the Jewish state being created. Think about all the technological advancements that Israel has made since out of necessity for survival, that who knows what would have ended up happening, but I doubt that we would have the technological advancements today if the Arab states in 1947 had just said yes.